Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
David came to a point in his life where he said, after everything I've done and everything I've had, there's one thing that my soul desires, and one thing that I've inquired or I've asked of the Lord, and that is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then Jesus said in Mark 10, our second one thing, he said to the rich young ruler, one thing that you have lacked, go and sell and give and follow me. Four things that he tells him, but he said the one thing that you lack. And the one thing that he lacked was not something he had, but it was something to do. And then last week, we went to Luke chapter 10, verse 38, which we'll jump back into here in just a few moments. But Jesus tells Martha, one thing is necessary. Now, how many of you know when Jesus starts talking about one thing, we should really begin to lean and tune our ear to what God is saying? Because if he could say anything and he boils it down in that conversation to one thing, how many of you know that one thing is important? And so in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, one of my favorite portions of scripture that I've never really broken down until last week and this week is, and we know the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Jesus. We know what he does, I believe it's in John 11, at the tomb. But here we see kind of the genesis and one of the first moments that we see Mary and Martha come onto the scene. Verse 38, so that everybody is in the same place from where we left off last week. Verse 38, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. We'll get to that here in just a minute, but I love how he differentiates what Martha's doing to what Mary's doing. Can I just tell you, as a pastor, without the context of all of Luke chapter 10, if I were to read this, I would say that Martha was doing the one thing that was good and that was eternal and thing that would not be taken. I would reprimand Mary for not getting up and serving Jesus. But when we look through the eye and through the prism of Christ in this moment, he looks at Mary and he looks at Martha, and he doesn't really chastise Martha, but he brings her focus to something that is greater than what she's doing, and he reminds her where she's at. Before we go any further, can I just remind you that when you come to church, serving is important. Running these cameras is important. Holding a microphone and leading worship, watching kids and greeting and ushering in the media booth and TV room, all of those things are important. But can I encourage you to never forget when we come in this room where we are, that we are in the presence of the Lord. That the presence of the Lord that we're encountering here tonight, this is a presence that is available everywhere, yet most people never tap into it here, let alone anywhere else. So Jesus is not telling Martha, don't serve. What he's saying is we've got to get our life in priority. Where we left last session talking about is our everyday lives are filled with the demands and the distractions in this world. Demand is an urgent or a pressing need. Distraction are those things that distract, divide, or divert our attention. And in life, sometimes the devil does not distract you and tempt you with things that are going to make you sin. Sometimes he just doesn't want, he knows some of your eyes are never going to be focused on sinning or Satan. But a lot of times for believers, if he can just get your eyes off of Jesus. Remember when Peter began to sink in the waves, he wasn't focused on Satan after he had walked on water. He just quit looking at Jesus. And sometimes it's not that we are so focused on the things of this world and so focused on the enemy and what he's doing and what his hand is doing. Sometimes we just lose our focus and we're no longer looking at Jesus. We are now looking at the waves of the world. It's So this passage from Luke highlights the power of prioritizing. Jesus visits the home of Martha and Mary. One sister is busy serving the physical needs of Jesus, making sure that he's comfortable and that his hunger is met with food and that his thirst is quenched with drink. She's busy preparing the physical house. But the other sister, Mary, is sitting at Jesus' feet. And although her needs are being met spiritually, she is also meeting the needs of Jesus spiritually, because Jesus is not teaching just for the windows and the doors to hear. He is teaching so that Mary's life can be added and value can be given to her. That is, if I can encourage leaders in this room tonight that are serving right now, or leaders that are sitting right now but will be serving on Sunday, you know what maturity allows you to do? Maturity allows you to serve and sit at the same time. Serving allows you to run a camera, but while you're running the camera, you're still letting the Word of God come into your life and transform you. Worship allows you to usher and worship. Come on now. Serving and sitting. The difference in their response to Jesus' presence highlights an important lesson about their personal priorities. And then we can look within ourselves at our personal priorities. What are our priorities in the presence of Christ? Not just the presence of Christ on a Wednesday night, but when God shows up. And listen, I know that the smart aleck will say God is omnipresent and he's everywhere. But how many of you know there are some moments where God wants all of your attention in that moment to cease everything that you are doing and lean in and sit and say, all right, God, you have my undivided attention. Netflix is going off. The iPod is going off. I'm here, God, to listen to your voice. And I'm not putting a time limit on what you say and how long you have. I'm just ready for you to invest in my life. But what gets us is the distraction of busyness, church. I said last week, if you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to read your Bible and worship, you're too busy. If you're too busy to disciple a new believer or be discipled by an experienced believer, you are simply too busy. Mary's struggle is like many of ours. Martha's struggle is like many of ours. She's practical. She's analytical. She thinks a lot. When Jesus enters her home, Martha wants to make sure that everything is perfect. But remember this, church, the pursuit of perfection produces unnecessary pressure. Martha pursues perfection to the calamity that it causes into her life, that her pursuit of perfection now becomes a distraction. Don't confuse excellence with perfection. And everything you do should be done in excellence. You should be a better worshiper in November of 2024 than you were in November of 2023. Your prayer life should be stronger in November than it was in January. And that is not saying I have a perfect prayer life. What it means is I'm doing everything in excellence. And I am a stronger believer than I was this time last year. And so if I'm a stronger believer, every bit of my life should be affected by my belief and my maturity. So don't ever allow your service to God to stop or hinder your pursuit of God. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 41 of Luke 10. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Martha's anxiety is not just about being consumed with the work she was doing, but the unnecessary perfection pressure she had put on herself to please Jesus. She overwhelms herself with responsibilities. There's a fine line between being a diligent servant and becoming overwhelmed with busyness. Once Jesus is not your top priority, you are too busy. Let's talk about this for the next few moments. Let's be focused at the feet of Jesus, or at Christ's feet. Let's go back to verse 38. Now as they went, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. When you study this in Bible history, most people agree that this is their first, maybe not meeting, but this is the first time he had been in their house. When he shows up for the first time, Martha is concerned with the atmosphere of the physical house, making sure that it's clean, making sure that it smells right, making sure that the food is ready on time, while Mary has paused everything and she is now sitting at the feet of Jesus, and I believe she is leaning into every word that he is saying. When was the last time that we prayed and had a prayer moment with God where we shut up to listen? Because I know when we say, let's pray, everybody that knows how to pray, we start talking. But what if I told you that half of your prayer was not about what you say, it's about what God says? What if half of our prayer is about us being quiet and listening to what God has? What if in this moment that Martha is denigrating Mary's activity, what if this is the most active Mary has been all of her life, not because of a physical expression, but because of a spiritual expression, that she is leaning into what God is saying? Could this be the most active moment of Mary's life to date? So a lot of us look at prayer as what we say, but prayer is just as much about what God says back to us. Somebody say amen. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. What did that teaching represent? At Christ's feet, this is what Mary was doing. She was hearing the words of the Lord. Remember, doers are hearers first. So we cannot put a pressure on doing until we've heard. If this is indeed, take this trip with me just for a moment. If this is indeed the first time that Jesus has been at Martha and Mary's house, and Martha is consumed with housework and busy work and distracted work, she's busy with cooking food. How do you even know what Jesus is like until you've sat at his feet? How do you know what he has an appetite for unless you know him? The first moment that I meet people, visiting pastors that come here to speak, or I'm at a conference, or the first thing I ask once we have decided, hey, let's go to lunch, is what are you hungry for? If he says, I'm hungry for seafood, I don't take him to Bill Miller's. Because he's told me what he has an appetite for. Martha is busy trying to meet the needs of a Jesus she doesn't know. Which leads me to this point, church. You better know Jesus before you start trying to serve Jesus. See, there's a lot of us that want to join a ministry and you haven't talked to Jesus. You don't even know what he's hungry for, what he's looking for out of you and in your life. And here Mary is, and she's saying, before I do anything else, I want to find out who this Jesus is. I've heard about him. I've seen some of the exploit he's done from afar. But now he's sitting in my presence, in my house. I could care less about what's going on in the kitchen, on the stove. I am here to meet with Jesus. I love this. Mary's sitting, hearing his teaching, receiving spiritual nourishment. She's receiving revelation that only Jesus can provide. I encourage you to get mentors. I encourage you to get people to hold you accountable, people to disciple you. But can I tell you that there is nothing that takes the place of a real relationship one-on-one with Jesus. One-on-one prayer life, praise God. Prayer life is stronger than counsel life. Prayer life is stronger than accountability. Word life is stronger than guidance and counsel from a man or a woman. Because I got news for you. If you sit down with me in a counseling session, I'm going to give you scripture you already have access to. You say, yeah, but you could tell me what you would do in this situation. You don't need to know what I would do in that situation. You need to know what God has already told you to do in that situation. Well, I knew it'd get tight right there. She's receiving direction. She's receiving healing. She's receiving restoration. All of this has happened while she listens. Can I encourage you, before we cross the threshold into a new year in 34 days, learn to listen over the next 5 weeks. Learn to listen and hear God's voice. Hear his direction. Some of us are asking way too many people what they think. And we have yet to ask God, not what he thinks, but what he has established for our lives. God is not going to tell you what he thinks you should do. God is going to give you plan A, B, or step A, B, and C on the plan that has already been established since the beginning of time. Not a plan that was created for you, but you were created for a plan. And now he can tell you how he has ordered your steps and how you need to walk it out. Somebody say amen. Jesus affirms that Mary made the correct choice when he says in verse 42, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The good portion here is reference to an intimate, unhurried time spent with Jesus, creating a personal connection. At the end of your life, it is going to come down to one thing: who you know. And knowing your pastor doesn't matter. I literally have people that show up at my barn and buy horses, buy cows, do business with me, and they pay me, hopefully in cash, praise God. But they will overpay me because they know I'm a pastor, and they'll say, hey, put this 100 in the church offering plate on Sunday. Hey, and at the end of all this, put in a good word for me. Number one, I take the $100 and I do put it in the offering plate and I make sure it goes to the church. But I don't care if it kills the deal. I tell them, it don't matter what I say. I'm not the one. And I know we have this great little thought because of the jokes. Peter is not the one up there with a clipboard deciding who gets to come in and who doesn't get to come in. You get to go to heaven for one reason. You've accepted Jesus Christ, you have followed Jesus Christ, and you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so he says this one thing is necessary. She has done the thing that is good. She has done the thing that is a good portion that will not be taken from her, which means it is the eternal part. It is the part that is going to help her at the end of her life here. It is an intimate, unhurried time creating a personal connection with Jesus. Can I ask you this question? Can you find Jesus without your mama? Can you find Jesus without your BFF? Can you find Jesus without a church pointing to him? Can you find Jesus on your own? Because one day you are going to stand before Jesus. You are going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I am excited about that day. Why? Because I have learned to serve, but I have learned to sit. I have learned what it means to have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I am begging you. I implore you. You're not riding anyone's coattails to heaven. You've got to have a relationship all your own to make it through those pearly gates. If you have that kind of relationship, somebody say amen. Amen. Mary sitting is not an indication of laziness. She is not shirking or neglecting her responsibilities, church. Instead, she recognizes that I am in the presence of God. There is something more important. There is something that is compelling me to not complete tasks and not to be busy and distracted, but something is compelling me that this moment is a moment that will transform not only my now, but my forever. I have no doubt that Martha loved Jesus. We know that Mary loved Jesus, but Mary understood that in order to serve him well, I first need to sit at his feet. I know we are 12 times a year. We're doing coming this Sunday, Living Way launch, December 1st. You're going to hear me talk to the Sunday crowd, and we're going to talk about joining the team and don't just sit on the bench and don't all of those things. But understand, as much as I want people to serve, I need them to understand what it means to sit first. And when I say sit, I'm not talking about doing nothing. I'm not talking about watching everybody else. I'm talking about sitting long enough in the presence of the Lord that you catch his vision for your life. And he shows you and downloads into your spirit, this is why I created you. This is why I have you in San Antonio. This is why I led you to Living Way Church. This is why you're the first one in your family saved. This is why I got you off those drugs. This is why I delivered you from that addiction. This is why I healed you when they said you wouldn't live past 4 months. Man, I just had a friend of mine just message me. He said, we literally just prayed. It was Cruz Ramirez. He said, we just prayed for someone at our last young adult service in November, had stage 4 cancer. For those of you that don't know how serious stage 4 is it's pretty much cancerous cells have spread throughout your entire body, and they have given you a very small moment or time left. I think this gentleman had 2 months. They prayed in November just for him to show up at the next young adult meeting last week, and he is cancer free. He went from cancer stage 4 to cancer free. How does that happen? You think that happens being busy with the things of this world? You think that happens being distracted? That happens when somebody says, I know who my God is, and if he's here, let me sit in his presence. Mary and Martha both loved Jesus. But Mary understood that in order to serve him, she at first needed to sit at his feet. This call to both serving and sitting, not one or the other, serving and sitting. Please know Jesus was not condemning. This was not a condemnation moment for Martha's work. Service is important. And there are times when we need to be active in our duties, whether that's at home, work, or church. But the key is the order of priorities. If you're taking notes, write this phrase down. There is power in priority. Matthew 6, Jesus addresses one of the greatest struggles we all face, anxiety over the things of life, food, clothing, basic needs. See, we love to talk about Matthew 6:33, but let's go to verse 25, because verse 25 shows us that we live in a world that pushes us towards independence, self-sufficiency, and a perfect life. But in our pursuit of perfection, church, we often become anxious, stressed out, and distracted from all that we should have in our main focus, and Jesus and his will for our lives. Matthew 6, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. This is Jesus. Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Come on, somebody. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Boy, that's a word for somebody today. Worry doesn't add anything to you. You see, Martha is in this moment of anxious and anxiety to the point where Jesus says, Martha, slow your roll. You're anxious about all the things going on in your life, the food, the clothes. Worry doesn't add anything to your life. Verse 28, and you worry about your clothing. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that they're here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? When Jesus does not become or does not remain our top priority, it is a faith issue. So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Oh, that hurt me when I read that, y'all. Because I think about some of those things. But God said, when you think about those things, you're thinking like the world thinks. And the world has an excuse why to think that way. They don't know Jesus like we know Jesus. Or if they know Jesus, he's not priority in their life. He says the world thinks about all of those things. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Some of us are so worried about tomorrow that if we would face everything we are going through today, what we're worried about tomorrow would never come to pass because we handled it today. Matthew 6:33, church, teaches us that God's provision is released in priority. Ooh. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. I love this. The moment that I pivot and prioritize my life, all the things are unleashed. If I could show you what heaven is doing tonight when you align your focus back on Jesus and His Word, His Spirit, and His promises, everything that you need, praise God. It doesn't, listen, and when I say it is unleashed, I'm not talking about it starts as a trickle. I'm talking about it's like a dam breaking open and God is sending a deluge. Can I encourage somebody tonight to get your focus back on Jesus? This one thing, it's necessary, Jesus said. Stand on your feet. Provision. The provision of God is unlocked, unleashed, released in priority. If you're taking notes, I know you're standing, but you're probably not writing them. You're typing them. Type this out or take a picture. I love this because I'm always looking for new ways to say old truths. Anxiety is a symptom of misplaced priorities. Anxiety is a symptom of misplaced priorities, meaning this: anytime that we become anxious, and notice I said we, anytime we become anxious, our priorities have shifted. And now instead of Jesus sitting on the throne, our mortgage, and we don't have enough money to pay it, we put that on the throne. And guess what, church? Ooh, whatever's on the throne is what you worship. You know what anxiety really is? It's worship. It's just worshiping the wrong thing. Anxiety is the symptom of misplace. But I've got great news for you. Fixing your priorities is not going to take a 12-step Dave Ramsey course. It's not going to take 5 steps from Pastor Joel Osteen or Pastor Furtick. Fixing your priorities can happen in 30 seconds. And we're about to open this altar because I'm going to be a man of my word and get you out of here by 8:15. Oh, we're good. 16 minutes. Man, y'all sit down. Let's preach. No, just kidding. We're going to fix it because you now have an opportunity to leave your seat and to say, Jesus, I've been Martha in my life. My mind, my thoughts have been everywhere. And whether it's something tangible or something spiritual, whether it's a thought in your head or whether it's a person in your home, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's thoughts. There's consternation. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Fork in the road is now causing you to doubt. Double-mindedness has creeped in. I'm here to tell you. 2 Sundays ago, we killed anxiety at this altar. And we're going to spend the rest of our life making sure that this generation knows that you don't have to be anxious. And like Martha, like Jesus told Martha, we're going to tell you, hey, you don't have to be anxious about this world. Why don't you take a seat next to your sister and just listen, just lean in and sit in the presence of the Lord. If you're in this altar, you're coming to this altar, I'm seeing new faces. I'm seeing familiar faces. I'm seeing leaders. I'm seeing families, young and experienced. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this, that you fixing your priorities today, that anxiety, that symptom, we're going to deal with the source right now, and the source is getting your eyes back on Jesus. I know the waves are big, Peter. I know the boat's rocking, Peter. I know the rain's blowing sideways, Peter. But listen, just stay.